Hey everybody, Merry Christmas. Great to see all of you here. So glad that you decided to make this a part of your holiday. I know there are many of you that are watching from home, and we're glad that you are with us today as well. We have all kinds of different traditions, including what we do with Christmas trees. I was just thinking about how when we first moved to Maine 12 years ago, like we went on the Christmas tree farm, and I think we did that twice maybe, and now we have a beautiful artificial Christmas tree in our living room right now. It's a lot warmer, and everybody kind of does decorations on the tree differently, with their ornaments, and maybe you're like our family in that we've kind of collected over the years just a few each year. So many, in fact, now that we don't have enough room on the tree for all of them, but there are a few special ornaments that I always hang on our Christmas tree. In fact, I hang them so high in the tree that our cats can't reach them, because I really want to protect these ornaments. One is this old Santa Claus that actually first belonged to my grandmother on my mom's side. It's a styrofoam ball with a paper hat and a cotton ball beard there, and a little bit of glitter, and it's really not so special except for the fact that, you know, it belonged to my grandma, and she died when I was very young, and so I'm very protective of that, and I always hang it high in the tree. And then there's another one from my grandma on the other side. That's my dad's mom, and she got this little tree seed pod and put some green velvet in there and the gold trim and a little tiny ornament inside, and you know, I've just kept that over the years. I remember for a lot of years, I really didn't think it was all that attractive, to be honest. You know, but my grandma made it, so, you know, I hung it up there. And now it just becomes more and more precious every year. And I treat it, you know, as something very, very special because I love my grandma so much. And here's one other ornament that we have. I'm not actually sure if this is an ornament. It's either a very large ornament or it's a very small wall hanging. But what I like about it is that those three words above baby Jesus are the exact words that I need to hear at this time of year. Shh. It's him. If there's ever a time when I need to be shushed, it's Christmas time. Because during this time of year, I just never slow down long enough to really think about what it is that we are celebrating. And it just gets faster and faster the closer we get to Christmas. So there's decorations to hang and presents to buy and cards to mail and people to see and Christmas movies to watch and chores to do. And all of that just gets in the way, and I don't really stop long enough to think about the significance of what it is that we are celebrating. And this year, again, there's the added stress of COVID. Yet another distraction, something else to keep my mind spinning when what I really need is just a few minutes of stillness to look at that baby in the manger and remember who he was. Can you relate to my holiday hyperactivity? Maybe even right now, your heart is beating a little bit faster than normal. Maybe some of you are excited about what's coming next, and you're all prepared for that. And maybe some of you have a brain that is like a banana tree full of monkeys right now. There's just so many things that you're thinking about. And yet, you have made a point to come to church or to watch church from home. And I think the reason why is because, you know, like me, you're trying hard to just at least for a few minutes to focus on the true meaning of Christmas. And I really want to help you to do that. And the best way that I know how is just to say to you, shh, it's him. Do you think that just for a few minutes you can quiet your heart and look into the eyes of that newborn baby and think deeply about who he is, like his mother Mary did on that first Christmas night? There's a lot of excitement that night when those shepherds, still all goosebumpy from having seen and heard 1,000 angels, came to that little barn, and they saw what one angel told them they would see, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. No doubt they could not wait to tell Mary and Joseph what the angel said. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. I love how the Gospel of Luke describes Mary's response. It says that she treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. It's as if, while there was all this hubbub around her, she said to herself, "Shh, it's him." Somehow she was able to focus her thoughts on what that angel had said to the shepherds and how it reaffirmed everything that had been revealed to her about her baby before and during her pregnancy. I mean, she heard those words, "A Savior has been born to you." And she knew what that meant. Do you? Savior, it's not a word that we use very often. If we do, usually it's like for a sports figure or for a politician or somebody like that, and we know that we're exaggerating. I mean, we wouldn't actually be doomed without that person. But in this case, the title is perfectly accurate because we would be doomed without Jesus. Doomed to what? Well, to death. Why? Because death is the penalty for sin. And all of us have sinned. Not a single one of us would make it into heaven if not for Jesus. Because we have all fallen short of the standard of perfection that is demanded by God. Just imagine God's heartbreak over the thought of being separated from us forever. When he created us, he was like a young parent, like a young father or mother looking at that baby and having a heart so full of love and a mind dreaming of all that that child might become. But we all, like sheep, have gone astray, the scripture says. Each of us has turned to our own way, and now God looks down and he's like a parent that has lost a child. Dreamed of so much, and now that child has wandered off. And he says, they need a Savior. And so he gave us one. The angel told Mary to name her baby Jesus. And when she heard that name, it didn't sound to her like Joe or Bob or Tom. No, Hebrew names are like Native American names. They're descriptive of the person. Jesus means the Lord saves. The angel had said to Mary, "Name your baby, the Lord saves." And then the angel appeared to Joseph and told him the same thing. "You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." Think of that. Everything that you've ever done wrong, everything that you hope God will not remember when you stand before him on the day of judgment, all of that being erased forever. Not by your remorse, not by a promise to do better, but by the birth and ultimately the death of a Savior. The angel said to those shepherds, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." All people. That includes you. That baby, Jesus, came to save you from death. As a grown man, he said, "The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Shh. It's him. It's your Savior. And no doubt Mary pondered in her heart that word Christ. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ," which is not Jesus' last name, by the way. No, it's a Gentile word for what the Jews called the Messiah. Literally, it means the anointed one. See, in Israel, when a king began his reign, he was anointed with oil. Oil was poured over his head until it dripped down his face and off his beard. That oil symbolized the Spirit of God. It was a way of saying, this man has been chosen and empowered by God. But that anointing was really just a preview of the day when the Spirit would fall on a king who will reign forever. And not just in Israel, but but actually over the whole world. That king will fix everything that is broken and turn everything that is upside down, right side up. I know a lot of candidates have promised that, but the Christ will do it. That was the hope of Israel. And now, finally, the angel says, the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, he's not just your Savior, he's also the Messiah, the King of Kings. Now, the way his kingdom would come about was still a mystery. I mean, who knew that prior to him being crowned as king, he would die for our sins and then wait 2,000 years and counting for as many people as possible to repent and believe in him. But the fact that Jesus was going to do what no other king or president or prime minister could ever pull off was promised in that title, Christ. Imagine, hard as it may be to do this these days, just imagine a perfect government. One with no division, no dysfunction, no debt. Imagine a world without crime, without poverty, without war, without genocide. Imagine a government of justice and righteousness resting on the shoulders of a king who will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. That's the promise that that baby in the manger embodied. It's him. It's the one who will make all things new. And what must Mary have been thinking when she heard that word, Lord? He is Christ, the Lord. It's a term that can simply mean master or boss, like one who rules. And for sure, the Messiah will rule one day. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But Lord is also a term that can mean God. Was the angel saying that that little baby was God? No doubt Mary had thought long and hard about the prophecy that came from the lips of Isaiah 700 years before the birth of Jesus. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. She knew what that name meant. It meant God with us. How did she process that? God coming from her womb into the world that he created. The infinite one, now weighing a certain number of pounds and a certain number of ounces. The all-powerful one, now utterly dependent on her for nourishment. The one who dwells in unapproachable light, visible now only by the flame of an oil lamp, as he lays on a bed of straw in an animal trough. And how do we wrap our minds around the fact that in this fully human body, God himself experienced life as we know it? He knows what it's like to be hungry, thirsty, bone tired. He has wept over the loss of loved ones and the betrayal of friends. He has suffered. God has. He suffered physically and emotionally. Why? He's even died. That's the God that we have. Not one who's way off in the distance, who couldn't care less about what we're going through, but one who is with us, even right now, in whatever we're going through. Shh. It's him. That baby is God. It's a lot to ponder, isn't it? And take away all the things that we love about Christmas. Take Santa and the presents under the tree and all the great food and the family gatherings and the Christmas movies. Take it all away. And what are you left with? Just him. Your Savior. the Messiah, God in a bod. Let me ask you, do you know him? Do you know Jesus personally? You can. You just have to admit that you need a Savior and acknowledge that Jesus was not only born for you, but that he also died for you. And you have to see him not only as a helpless baby, but also as a victorious king who will one day rule the world. And you must bow your knee to Jesus and worship him as your Lord and your God. If you have never done that before, we want to invite you to do it right now. Bow your heads with me in prayer. And on this Christmas Eve, 2021, is this the day when, for the first time, you want to step across that line? Where before you kind of lived your life all on your own, you depended on nobody but yourself to make yourself right with God, and now you're trusting in Jesus. You believe that baby was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. You just tell him, I want you to be my Savior. Come into my life and cleanse me of my past and make me the person you want me to be. Jesus, if we only knew who you were and who you are, we would be undone. But to whatever extent we grasp that you are the Savior of the world, the long-awaited Messiah, and the incarnation of God himself, we worship you. We believe that you came for us, that you died for us, and that you still live today. Grant everyone who has heard this message the grace to make room in the inn of their heart for you. Amen.